I love that we chose the perky music for this particular introduction. We do have lots of different musical choices, but we chose the perfect one to set up an interview about Calm. Wait a sec, we should have had Sam Fear Magic of the Pan Flute instead. When you think of your money, are you thinking like calm, deep breath, namaste thoughts, or are you internally freaking out? Most people at a certain level are picking the latter. So we have some tips. Manisha Thakur is the founder of Money Zen. She's in Belgrade, Maine today to talk about her five tips to increase your financial calm, confidence, and clarity. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce.
What does it mean to be financially calm? Is that even possible?
So, when I say you are financially calm, what I mean, and I put them all together, calm, confidence, and clarity, because they're like strings on a pearl, or notches on a belt. And the way I think about it is that you want to be in a situation where when you have to make day-to-day decisions about that involve money, whether they're small ones or big ones, you don't feel any stress about making that decision because you have clarity around your finances, and you have confidence in your knowledge of what will be happening depending on how you decide to act with your money. And when those three things come together, then I feel like people are in a state of money zen.
Right. And it doesn't mean that they don't have divorce or health issues or job loss, but boy, it sounds like they'd be better equipped to handle all those circumstances.
Oh, precisely. I mean, life spits in everybody's eye. And I mean, I recently, you know, I'm a divorced 51-year-old workaholic
Is that your dating profile?
Exactly. On Tinder, it says. Yeah.
Swipe right if you want some of this.
And, you know, and recently I had a pretty long health issue that now thankfully is resolved. And I mean, I didn't expect any of this. This is not what I thought would happen to me by this stage in my life. And so stuff happens to all of us and we can't plan that, but we can prepare to be able to deal with it. And it's about the money, but it's also about the mindset.
Mm. Yeah. You've got some tips. What is tip number one to, I don't know if we say increase your financial calm, find your financial calm, develop your financial calm?
Develop, I think, is the best way to put it. And the first tip I have is from my grandfather in India. And he used to say, buy few, but buy the best you can afford at that time with the money you have with cash. You're not taking out debt for it.
Right.
And I really noticed this when I, 25 plus years ago, when I was spent my junior year abroad at Oxford, I came over like the typical American with this freaking huge set of gigantic Samsonite suitcases to move into my little tiny dorm room. And my British peers came in with almost nothing. I looked like the entire year, and they were impeccably dressed because they had like two phenomenal sweaters that will last them a lifetime and always look brand new. And I had just, you know, typical disposable clothing.
Right.
And so buy a few things. And I have, just to wrap this point up, my aunt in India, my grandfather's daughter, she bought me a shawl when I was 18 years old. She took me to a shop and said I could get any pashmina I wanted. I picked one, turned out to be the most expensive one in the shop, and I thought she was going to dry heave. I have taken that shawl on every single business trip I have had since then. Like, how many decades is that? And it always looks new.
Wow. Okay. Number two is the 50-30-20 principle. What is it, people who don't know, and why do you believe in it?
So 50-30-20 refers to the optimal or an ideal touchstone of the allocation of your take-home pay, with 50% of your money going towards needs, 30% towards wants, and 20% towards savings, which encompasses near, medium, and long-term savings. So an emergency fund, nearer-term things like a vacation or home repairs, and then longer-term retirement. And it's not that everybody is going to live 50, 30, 20. If you live in a major metropolitan area, sometimes there's no way you can keep your needs, which I would call housing, transportation, food, insurance, and any mandatory childcare in order to work. In some parts of the world, you have to, I mean, it eats up 70% of your take-home pay. And so the point of 50, 30, 20 is then to highlight, well, if that's the case, something has to go. And usually it's savings and it drops to zero. But could you not find a different shift in percentages between the wants and the savings so that you are enjoying today and establishing some security for tomorrow?
Next up is lifestyle creep, which, you know, it's relevant at all stages of life, but in particular for younger people as they move from student life of, you know, ramen noodles and fast fashion to, oh my gosh, I have an actual paycheck here.
Yes. Oh my God. So lifestyle creep is this: you go and you buy a great new top. And then you go home and you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, okay, that doesn't go with these pants and shoes. So you go get those. And then you come home and you're like, oh, wait a minute, this doesn't go with this home. So then you need a new apartment upgrade. And then you're watching TV and you're like, oh, I can't wear this outfit in this apartment with that TV. And so it's just this slow creep. And what happens often for young people that I know is that many college campuses these days have gyms and student centers that are nicer than any facility I was able to afford to work out in until I was like in my late 30s. And so the other piece that you have, whether it's comparison to the college campus, comparison to what you see on social media, is unrealistic expectations that's just fuel for that lifestyle creep fire.
The next one is about relationships. Now, you, as you mentioned, you're divorced. You've got some cred in this area because you learned some things, I am sure.
You know, I will tell you, my ex and I are on extremely good terms. We did not argue about money when we got divorced. Part of it is because I asked for a prenup. I was his second wife and he had children from prior marriage, and I didn't want them to think I was a gold digger, because I was doing quite well on my own. And so we had a prenup, and we talked a lot about money. That is exceptionally rare. And my advice is this: do not get married if you have not talked about money. I mean, I meet people who are married and they don't know what their spouse earns. And money, according to the American Psychological Association, every single year is one of the top two causes of fights, stress, and divorce in relationships. So it's a skill set that we all need to learn. And if you haven't learned it, read my book, Get Financially Naked, How to Talk Money with Your Honey.
Yes. Now, we just had a minute left here. You and I have both been in this world for a very, very long time. What would you say is the, of these five, the one that you need to keep revisiting or keep top of mind, or that is the most resonant for you as you look to the future versus the things you've learned in the past?
Without a doubt, it is tip number five, which is set boundaries to have real freedom. And what I mean by that is, for instance, I have this hankering to buy a place here in Maine. And so I've set a dollar amount and I will not look at any properties over that amount. And it gives me such freedom because now I'm not craving stuff I can't afford or a lifestyle I'm not going to be able to live. And sometimes your boundaries are, you know, I'm not hanging out with those friends because they always want to go to the super expensive restaurant and order the really expensive wine, and I'm sober. So creating the right set of boundaries around things that could involve money will literally set you free, and you constantly need to revisit what are those possible areas of stress.
So good. So good. My answer would be around the clarity of making sure that I've got clarity around the 50, 30, 20, because, and this is going to sound like a humble brag, I'm an underspender. And so I'm basically, you know, those clothes that we had in university, even though they were fast fashion at the time, I still wear them on a night out because I'm like, what? Anyway, that's probably more information than our listeners need. I'm not perfect either, everyone. It's true. Manisha, thank you so much for your time.
It's always a pleasure.
Manisha Thakur is the founder of Money Zen. She's looking out at the ocean from Belgrade, Maine, and is probably going to buy a place in the next week. There, I'm putting that out into the universe.
Yes. For you. Yes. That's,
yeah, in the next week. Totally done.
If you want to know what I'm up to with the house, go to moneyzen.com, sign up for my newsletter where I'll be talking about how this saga unfolds.
There's going to be pictures there too, I bet. I hope so.
Yes.
Thank you again.